You ready to start? Yeah, all right. Welcome to this very exciting presentation. I am Becky Menning, a math marketing specialist here at Wiley, and I am very pleased to introduce our two speakers here. We have Heidi Line, who has taught at Joliet Junior College in Joliet, Illinois for the past 10 years. She has earned an EDD in higher and post-secondary education, doing research in placement, testing, and assessment. For the last 3 years, her efforts have been devoted to data science program development and medical math for vet tech research, collaboration, and program design. Her co-speaker is Chris Berta, a graduate of University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana with a BS in finance and a minor in economics. Directly out of school, she worked for the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago as an internal auditor and ultimately as director of IT strategic planning and budgeting. While at the Federal Reserve, she received the Presidential Award for Excellence, the organization's highest honor for planning, innovation, and leadership. As a mother of two in Naperville, Illinois, Chris chaired a home and school literacy program initiative for her school district, served as secretary of the district's vision committee on strategic education indicators, and served as the academic excellence representative to the superintendent's advisory board. Later in life, Chris pursued a second career in animal nursing. She earned an AAS in veterinary nursing and began a second career as a board-certified veterinary nurse. In 2017, Chris accepted an adjunct faculty position at Joliet Junior College in veterinary nursing. As a pharmacology instructor, she identified a debilitating weakness in technical math skills among students and a lack of instructional materials geared toward the subject matter and her students' demographic. She enlisted the assistance of Dr. Heidi Line, professor of mathematics and co-speaker, to develop a grant-funded technical math bridge that would run parallel with the program's curriculum. MathBridge continues to grow and evolve, filling a niche in technical math instruction that is critical to nursing. Heidi, over to you.
Thanks, Becky. I think your next career is a game show host, right? That's outstanding.
Thank you.
On the horizon. Okay, so like Becky said, I'm Heidi Line, and Chris and I run a joint partnership called MathBridge at Joliet, the nation's first community college founded in 1901, and we have to say that as our only claim to fame.
The program actually began in veterinary nursing, that part of the college, and this presentation shares why and how we started that program and the multiple iterations that program has gone through as we've moved from semester to semester in this collaborative effort.
So this pharmacology that was described that we co-teach, it's a first semester of the student's freshman year in a 50 student cohort. And admissions are only in the fall. There's lots of caveats to that, but students might be part-time, full-time. It takes about 2 years to get through the program. And our main outcome in our presentation is for you to see how collaborative efforts can positively impact student pathways, as well as collegiate relationships, and the importance of the math professor in tech fields. We've given this presentation internally to our own school, but believe it's really part of something bigger and an ongoing effort in higher education. So we'd like to start with a poll. If Sam, you could launch poll one. We want to know how involved you are at cross-campus collaboration efforts so we can know who we're speaking to today. So if you'd answer for us, we'll give you a minute. And Sam, let us know when you have those results.
Waiting on a couple more. I'll give it another minute.
Okay, so as suspected for math faculty, we're just interested in the information. It's really nice to see that some are either already in a partnership or being contacted to create a partnership. So good information today.
I could have gone to medical school except for all that math and stuff. Truer words were never spoken when it's related to what we're teaching at veterinary nursing here. I began teaching pharmacology in 2017 as an adjunct at Joliet Junior College. So like I said, I was not new to academia, but definitely new to teaching. Pharmacology, just so you know, is a first year, first semester course. It requires proficiency, or we're there to teach proficiency in drug mechanics, drug terminology, and dosing of drugs. And that's where the math comes in. And that's where our two-year students first get exposure to that technical math that they're going to need for the profession. As soon as we make it aware, and we have made it aware in different times over each semester, as soon as we make students aware that math will be a part of the curriculum, we start getting the emails. We get things like, I'm not good at math.
Heidi? Yeah, Chris was hearing those great words that we hear in our math classrooms, like, I have math anxiety, I'm not good at math, math's my worst subject. It's baffling how many students use the same superlative. I'm always interested in who is actually the worst person at math, because they all claim to be the worst, and it's just accepted. And students tell us just willingly how much they dislike our careers. Like, do any of us go to somebody's job and say, wow, that really sucks, but it's accepted here because it's math. So I know I'm preaching to the choir here.
We also get a lot of disability notifications at this point in time. We actually like that. We stress it. But at early on, we didn't get those. And we would encourage people, if you had help in high school, please let us know, or, you know, contact disability services. Their concerns, when they say they were the worst in math, we feel for them, but those concerns weren't unwarranted. I saw an overall weakness in math across most of the students. And I approached my dean about it, and she had suggested that we develop, she had some funding in a grant, and she wanted to develop a joint effort between the math department and veterinary nursing. And she introduced me to Heidi here, and we started our journey, which has been very enlightening over the past couple of years. Our first step was to try to do a math bridge, this bridge between math and veterinary nursing, as 1 hour in between our AM and our PM courses, so everybody could sort of get take advantage of it. And our first step was to formally identify these stumbling blocks that our students faced.
And I really believe in collaboration and helping other instructors identify ways to improve. That's what brought me to this grant. This really is the most important part of our partnership here. Tech math is bigger than just take a placement test and remediate. We are individually diagnosing each student. We look for disability, like Chris said, social, behavioral, and math ability, which comes in many tiers. These tech instructors were not trained on foundational math methods, but they do have to incorporate them in their classroom, in their fields. So some of the problems we identified, what options do we have here? So the first program changed the prerequisite from elementary algebra to intermediate algebra. But they didn't need more algebra exposure. You know, you don't solve quadratics in medical math. You need more practical elementary application, not necessarily elementary algebra. I've done presentations on math in context that follow this thinking, so just contact me if you want some ideas for your classrooms. Regardless, the prereq is now elementary algebra again, after we learned that increasing to intermediate was not helpful. Students suffer from and share willingly that they have math anxiety and put up this brick wall that we need to break through. You see the boom in math anxiety in your own classroom. Imagine what it's like when a student's holding a syringe. Many don't realize that their high school IEPs don't translate directly over to the college. So working with disability services is important. By the time we have the paperwork squared away, they're already failing. And one of the things we tried to identify in the meantime while we're waiting on paperwork is it emotional? Is it that you just need green paper? Did you move in your career, in your education career, when fractions were being taught? So it's more of a learning gap than a learning disability. And then also reading comprehension is a major issue because we're not just reading about Sally who's buying an exorbitant amount of watermelons. We're calculating weights on animals that can be life or death situations, and students jump into their careers feet first.
And I have to say, Heidi taught me a lot of that first column, because as a new instructor, I was seeing for the first time how reading comprehension really affected math. And I never put it together as just a person who did math and finance, for example. She also informed me about disability services and how things change legally from going from high school to college. I did not know that, and I was never taught that as an adjunct. So this collaboration was really important for me, and I did some quick learning there and was really grateful for that knowledge. One of the things that I came into the program as a pharmacology instructor expecting was to tell them, oh, you know how you use percents in math? Well, we use percents in solution, and it means grams per 100 milliliter. And you know how you use ratios? Well, we use ratios, and they mean grams per mil. Okay, so now we're going to take that. However, I quickly learned they weren't all necessarily familiar with how percents were used in mathematics or how ratios were used in mathematics. So we found that, okay, we need to maybe review some of that. Then we went to metrics. Now, it really astounded me. And to tell you the truth, it still astounds me today. Heidi is laughing at me. that we really want to build STEM in our nation. However, a lot of students told us they don't have access to metrics. They never did. This is a huge thing because any science curriculum, whether it be chemistry or geology, you're going to be dealing with measurements in metrics solely. And nursing is no different. So in addition to them being weak and feeling like they're the worst, they are now learning an entirely new language of math, okay? And so I'm just compounding all these problems on top of them. I have students of multiple backgrounds and approaches, which is not uncommon for community colleges. So we had that to deal with. And as we tried to teach concepts and go back maybe to percents and ratios, then we found other issues. We found students hate fractions. I don't know what we've done to them with fractions, but they hate them.
That's a shock to all the math teachers.
So then when we went to teach, and then when we went to teach fractions, we referred to long division. And they told us, well, half the class, I guess, would say when we took a poll that they never learned a long division. And I never thought of long division as being all that important that you do all this calculation. However, when we get to the remainder, it actually has taught us, those who studied it, that, you know, it doesn't go in evenly. There's a remainder. I have to do something with it. And there is born the fraction. But they never did long division. So now we're trying to teach concepts like this. And I'm going way off course because my course is pharmacology, right? And lastly, we keep peeling back the layers of that onion. And as we peeled it back, I found that students are learning methods differently. There is this new, well, I don't know how new it is, but it was new to me, ladder method of multiplication. I don't know how many of you have heard of it. But if a student showed me how they did multiplication in the ladder method, I would have had no clue what they were doing because I do it entirely differently. So Heidi is the one, I just look at her and she jumps right in at that board and shows the student how to do it using the ladder method. So all of these were hurdles for us. Heidi, do you want to go to then?
Sure. As a math person, I'll wait while the delays have, Chris has a little bit of a delay, but as a math person, I don't typically pull out labels and prescribe in my college arithmetic classes. So in our word applications, the idea of an application is there, but how often does it literally mean like a life and death situation? I would suspect many of you are getting a little nervous or overwhelmed on this slide.
This slide depicts just a small example of the types of information we expect our students to know. From just the class I teach, pharmacology, I'm expecting them to understand the drugs, their mechanisms of action, the generic name, the brand name, that type of thing, what they're indicated for, et cetera. But if you look at these, we have 400 micrograms per mil. We have a 2.27% solution. We have pills, we have liquids, we have mill equivalents. And all of these are that metric nomenclature I'm talking about. And now they have to do these conversions from a new language they had never learned before to a language that maybe they're already struggling with, you know, just our basic American conversions. And it becomes overwhelming. And some of the students had begun referring to math as Chris's math, meaning she comes up with this whole new thing that was just invented. So we had to get that disillusion out of their heads as well. And then, you know, we're expecting them to go on after this first semester and talk about titrations for certain drugs and IV bags and continuous rates of infusion, and it goes on and on. And so this is a building block, so they must really understand it. Accuracy of syringes, Heidi mentioned that. So there is a bunch of stuff here for them to unfold and unravel.
So what did we really do with this? A couple of the ideas that we've gone through, we want to show you some iterations of the program that we've done. So first, some differences in grading on how we emphasize math in the old model versus our new model that we're working with now. Just a little snippet from our syllabi from fall 2017 before this started to now. We emphasize math, and with this introduction of a bridge program, math was separated from previously integrated curriculum where we just have our tests and our final and our quizzes and such. But now students are required to pass math and pharmacology separately.
Yeah, so the students did not like that because obviously when we were combining the two, if they were better at the traditional lecture style of learning pharmacology, that buoyed their grades. But we really felt it was necessary to split it out so we can hone in on the issues. And it did turn out some students were weaker in pharm than math, but that was not the case for a majority.
So through this discussion and through analyzing ourselves in the classroom, we really identified these major units. So now we can just open a book and find fraction examples, but we not only need to emphasize fraction word problems, but also review the rules. So all of the rules of fractions, all of the rules of decimals, and also how they apply to the program.
I found initially before Heidi came on board even that metrics material was impossible to find overall. And one of the things across the board we found as we started collaborating was we're dealing with students. Some of them are 30 and 40 years old and most of them are in their 20s. But when I go to find metrics material, it's all like fifth and sixth grade. And they use the illustrations for fifth grade and they use the language for fifth grade. And we can't use that because it would almost be insulting to our students. So we had to come up on the fly with types of materials for homeworks, for assessments, and for all that type of thing. We also had to come up with more complex word problems. A lot of times when the books that we accessed, we'd open a page and it was very straightforward. This is the calculation. But a lot of times when you're in a technical scenario, for example, in surgery or such a thing, you have to think on the fly and you have multiple steps to the issue. You know, you're converting weight of the animal, you're saying what's already on board, how much can I add incrementally, these types of things. So the word problems had to be more complex. So we had to develop all of those as well. And as you know, that takes a great deal of time. And once again, my core class that I'm teaching is pharmacology. So Heidi and I were really developing a brand new class together. So this is a slide that talks to the evolution of the class structure. We've only been at this for a few semesters. I came in as an adjunct in 2017, and then I fully was responsible for the class in the fall of 18. It started out as that 1 hour of supplemental instruction in between the AM and PM. And I found that students responded positively to this math instruction. Both Heidi and I, we gave them the opportunity to talk to either one of us or both to get tutoring and special one-on-one help. And what we came up with in this initial offering was, boy, we wish we would have evaluated students earlier to see where they were standing instead of waiting to the beginning of the semester.
And just to give you some perspective, this additional hour of supplemental instruction, we couldn't really mandate it because of their scheduling, but we were teaching one unit of the ones we listed on the previous slide in an hour. So we were teaching all of whole number review in an hour. We were teaching all of fraction review of rules in an hour. So imagine going over all of the fraction rules in 1 hour and then just serving the students their homework on the way out the door. It's not enough time.
That is for sure. So then we did our first iteration. And what we decided was we're going to do an optional summer bridge, which meant that we invite the students to come and get exposed to this math material during the summer for a couple of weeks. And then we would still offer the supplemental instruction during the school year, just as we had in the past. I do want to point out something to you, those red percentage signs, we do make a footnote there. They reflect students failing to show math proficiency and having to repeat the course. And you see that we had quite a jump from 20 to 32%. And that looks like a failure, but initially we expected this because the more we hone in and try to figure out where the issue is, we're going to be revealing it more. And the separating of the grading really helped us do that. So we weren't too concerned about these numbers at first.
And in this first iteration where we kind of made the bridge and the summer bridge and optional, we were devoting more like about 3 hours a day to review a concept. So give the students a little bit more time to practice, give us a little bit of time more like a traditional classroom so we could, you know, see what they're doing, give them some independent practice, and then come back as a class also.
Then we moved to iteration number 2 in the fall of 20. Also, this was obviously COVID time. So in addition to dealing with breaking this course, pharmacology and math, into 2 semesters instead of 1, so the students could digest all that material, we then we made the summer bridge mandatory, which is another thing that we actually had to fight for because, you know, students sign up for certain classes. And so it was free. It was offered to them free because we're grant funded and we are able to do that. The supplemental instruction now is split over 2 semesters, like I said, and we have added labs, 8 labs to each semester, where we are covering a majority of those labs cover math types of hands-on things to do for them. For example, syringe accuracy, you know, trying to assess that.
So actually the
students no longer.
Sorry. I was going to say the increase, like Chris pointed out in the red numbers, the increase in repeats is actually a good thing. Before, students were dropping the program, but now we're actually identifying the students that need a little bit more time, need a little bit more help. So actually identifying those students and putting them in this red group, so to speak, it's actually allowing us to hone in on those students and develop their skills a little bit so they don't really have to give up their career before we try to assess them a little bit. It also allows us to identify students who realize this career might not be for them. So our 12% drops this fall, although like Chris said, it is online. It sounds fun to take care of animals, but killing them because you move the decimal the wrong way is not really fun anymore.
Students no longer fail, I should say, that students no longer fail if they don't have show math proficiency in that first semester. Having it over two semesters now allows us to issue them a warning. This is what we've agreed upon now, and we're gonna see how that works. Issue them a warning that they move into the second semester with, and gives them a whole nother semester to improve those skills.
So like Chris referenced, we just have some preliminary grade data. So we're still working on that from this year as well, but from this year and last year, so this is last year's data. Last summer, fall spreadsheet of those that attended the bridge that we ran. And we thought a 19.5% increase in their exam scores from the initial bridge assessment to their final exam was inspiring enough for us to continue. So we're still waiting on this semester's scores to come back.
So this little graphic is something that I found as, you know, new to instruction and teaching. You probably have all seen something like it before, but it made a lot of sense to me. And I introduced it to the students in 2019. And it really resonated with them because one of the things that we were dealing with on a mental or emotional type of level was, I'm a failure. And I wanted the students to know that what they were experiencing actually was a learning process. And it was a learning process that every single one of us goes through when we're learning something new, whether it's a PhD student or whether it's a grammar school student. I'd say most of our students came into the program between steps one and two. Some didn't know that they were incompetent in math because they had been in classes like algebra, even calculus. But when it came to identifying the four fundamental concepts of math, should I divide, should I multiply, in a word problem, it was really difficult for them. So most of them though came in with conscious incompetence. Those were the ones who knew that they were the worst at math and they didn't know where to go from there. Our goal about offering things in the summer and assessing these students early was to move them from one to two as immediately as we could and get everybody in that red zone when we started the course in the fall. And then I told students that our goal is to move to the yellow, where you're doing it and you're doing it very slowly, right? You're trying to understand the next step and what this problem is telling me to do and how to dissect it. But our goal is to really do the repetition, those homeworks, those assessments and everything to get you to this conscious competence. The fourth level, combining it all, we hope that they get maybe toward the end of the program, but eventually in their profession.
Yeah, and it's important to note something that Chris said. We're not talking about college arithmetic students coming into their tech fields. Some of these students took high school calculus. They have grades on file that they passed high school calculus. They passed high school stats. And we have to get these students to level two ASAP before it's too late. So we have to establish humility, which is something that's not easy to establish. So the next thing I wanted to do was a little exercise for all of you because you like quizzes. I know a line I hear in my regular math classes, so on the math side of the house, over and over when calling on prerequisite skills is, I never learned this. So now in some cases, maybe the student did have a legitimate gap in learning for various reasons, but even in your own classroom, we know when they just learned it, it might just be in a different context. So how often do you hear in your class, you never taught us this one, or I never learned this from you, but we didn't do maybe that exact one. You're correct, but we did teach that skill.
May I say that this is another thing that Heidi taught me? Boy, I remember the first time I heard a student say, your exam was nothing like what you've been teaching us. And I remember feeling that way in classes early in college or something, like, they didn't teach us this, I don't know. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm a failure as an instructor. Should I keep doing this? And she looked at me, she took me aside afterward. She said, that's a normal part of the learning process. Your test was good and it did reflect what we were teaching. And so these are the things that I really relied on Heidi for to help me through as we taught these new concepts to them.
So we'll have Sam launch our second poll here. These are three examples of the types of questions we need students to be able to understand and interpret before the first semester of their freshman year is over. So to the math crowd, how many of these questions are you confident in solving? And Sam, let us know when you have those results there.
And while we're waiting on those results, we don't have any questions in the chat. Just a lot of positive, this is extraordinary. Thank you for this. A lot of positive results or questions and comments. So,
well, thanks, Becky.
Good work.
I don't know if my pop-ups are popping up, but I'm so sorry. Teams does not agree with my computer, so it's natural here. Okay, all three. Awesome majority. Some people are a little bit scared about this one, and maybe it's I'm scared because my students are going to be responsible for these situations with my pets, which makes me scared and drives me to keep instructing them in the classroom. So the first one there, just to give you a quick recap really fast. Goodness gracious. I'm just going to let the pop-ups keep going and not click them off if that's okay with everybody. The first one there, you would have to subtract and divide and change it to a percent. So that is three whole steps that we would be expecting there. Number two, we would set up like a proportion to solve for mils in that example. So if you solved it, maybe you got 2.5 mils, which a decimal place in the wrong position there could end up really harming Penelope the pointer. And then number three, it is actually an equation that we would be looking for. So the students would have to set up a C1 V1 equals C2 V2, if you've ever heard of that equation. They'd have to set that up, multiply, divide, then know the difference between what contributes as a solution and what contributes as a diluent. So these are multi-stepped equations, and we would want the students to be proficient in these as soon as possible. So extra things, we put a lot of work in, and thanks to a grant to develop resources for these students. So this isn't just volunteer. While publisher content's super great, there's just really not much out there to fill this gap between math and career fields. There's packages for technical skills, which show proportions. We all have, resources for these different things on the lower level, but actually applying them into the field is a different thing. So how much do we see students directly equate an example of proportion to real life?
it's, we want to help them. I never feel like we have enough time to do so. And we have worked so hard running these parallel classes actually to get them ready. I know that there is, and I tell this to Heidi regularly, there's no way I could have focused on all the pharmacology outcomes I needed to teach, developed the supplemental class, which I had started. I did a whole separate PowerPoint and such, but prepared all the worksheets, all the assessments, all the outcomes basically for a technical math course without Heidi, without this collaborative effort. Yet it's exactly what the students needed. So I can only say that I am 100% all in for collaboration with our math department in any future endeavor I take.
Yeah, and we owe big thank you. So thank you to Wiley for allowing us to present today, because I know that the presentation list was extraordinary and we only had so many time slots. We owe a big thank you to the Perkins Grant for funding us, for our Dean of Career and Tech Education who supported us, the department chair over Vet Tech, the Vet Tech coordinator, and then our students for being flexible and going through this journey with us. Our emails are listed here if you need, you know, to contact us for any questions or comments or anything, but I thought I'd leave you with a quote from one of our students. So this was a student who pretty much shot daggers through us on a daily basis, actually failed one semester and came back and repeated with us. And then one day this beautiful light bulb went on and she sent us this email. I don't read a lot, but I'll just read it to you. Hi guys, just wanted to thank you both for never giving up on me when struggling at math, as well as taking extra time to help me. I'm currently doing my internship at my work and I'm calculating dosage for everything and having a blast. Can you believe someone's having a blast while doing math? This is super alarming, everybody. Math is so fun. This was a real human student that said math is so fun and satisfying in the same sentence. So I just want to make sure that I highlighted that. And then also, of course, she thanked us for being patient with her. And she actually, the one that shot daggers through us for a couple of semesters, went on to help tutor other students. So it is for a greater good.
So, and can I say just, she was also the student who'd sit there with her head in her hands during every assessment and huff and pound the paper. And I'd have to ask, you know, do you want to leave so you can regain your composure? No. And she'd huff. This is how much anxiety she had to receive this email. This is why we do it.
Exactly. So I guess if there's any other questions or anything, Becky, let us know.
Yeah, Brady, could you actually go back to your previous slide with your emails? Yeah. Cassie had mentioned here in the chat that she's been approached by the nursing department to create some sort of seminar. So she would like to potentially reach out to kind of pick your brains a little more on doing.
Nursing's another one. This animal nursing and human nursing are both two really big fields where there's this huge divide, and the administration of medication is just so important that we don't want to let these students just slide through because there's not resources for them. So that would be fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I did just post in the chat, if you're looking for your next session, there is the app, I don't know, website, I guess, with the password. If you don't have that and you need it, there it is. Cool. But if you have any more questions, we still have a few minutes, so feel free to throw those in the chat or in the Q&A, either one. Otherwise, thank you very much. Go ahead, Chris.
To the one teacher who said, I may have to reach out to you afterward. I've been approached by the nursing department. It would be good to discuss more on setup. Yeah, and with COVID and everything, I had to learn the software. I had to learn to, for example, with my Apple Pencil on my iPad to do all the calculations and record them. Then I transferred them to movies, and then I uploaded the movies so they can get them. And that's really been a learning experience for us as well, how to communicate in this time of COVID. And we also brought this presentation to a conference just in our at Joliet Junior College. And we had teachers, like I said, from geology, and there were all other math disciplines who were very interested because they're running into the same thing. And that's when we realized this is a broader issue.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. All right. Well, thank you both very much. That was fascinating. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you. You too.
Thank you, everyone.